Catholic Church officials from around the world are now in Rome for a two-week gathering that's being described as potentially extraordinary. They're discussing how the church can better reach out to divorced people, gays and lesbians, and unmarried couples. And the meeting is viewed as a test of how Pope Francis's push for a more open, modern church will mesh with the more conservative views of many of its bishops. Joining us from Rome is longtime Vatican reporter John Allen. He's an associate editor at the Boston Globe, and he writes for Crux, the Globe's website covering all things Catholic. John, welcome.
Hello, Sasha.
John, how rare or not rare are these synods, as they're called, and why is this one in particular getting so much attention?
Well, a synod was founded by Pope Paul VI in the 60s, and there have been 20-some of them since that time, so they're not terribly rare. I think, Sasha, there's tremendous interest in this one, because it is the first time one of these summits of bishops from all over the world have occurred on the watch of Pope Francis. And Pope Francis has already demonstrated his capacity to be a kind of maverick leader to do the unexpected. Also, because of the topic at this synod, it's about the family, and there's virtually no hot-button issue about the Catholic Church, from its teaching on abortion and gay marriage all the way to how it relates to young people and on, that doesn't somehow fall under that rubric. So it's the intersection of some pretty dramatic content and an always surprising pope that I think has raised the stakes about this synod.
And are they considering actual policy changes, or is it more just a chance to sit at a table together and talk through long-held church positions?
Well, the bishops have made clear from the beginning that they are not considering changes to Catholic teaching. They have said over and over again that we are not looking at changing doctrine. However, that doesn't mean that nothing dramatic could happen, because in the Catholic Church, in addition to doctrine, what in secular language we would call policy, there's also the application of doctrine. And here, there are some potentially significant changes that are in the mix. For one thing, there is a very active debate going on at this synod about whether divorced and remarried Catholics who under current church rules are not allowed to receive communion, whether they ought to be readmitted to communion. There are some passionate voices believing that, yes, they should. Some others equally strongly convinced, no, they shouldn't. I think at this stage it's too early to predict how that's going to go. But there is an active debate on that point. I think where there is consensus is that most of the bishops have acknowledged that much of the church's traditional language when it comes to its teaching on sex simply isn't reaching a lot of people in the postmodern world. They're trying to find a new, more positive, and less judgmental way of trying to package the church's message.
And John, in terms of issues involving sex, it seems like the bishops are getting a dose of reality, in a sense, at the synod. I'm thinking of one couple that spoke to them about the importance of sex in their marriage. Another couple spoke about love and acceptance for gay children. How is that going over with that group?
Yeah, one of the things that Pope Francis did was he decided to invite, since this is a synod on the family, he decided to invite 12 married couples to sort of give the bishops a crash course in the reality of what family life is like. And it has been striking that these married couples have brought up some conversations that you just don't typically hear in assemblies of celibate male bishops. I mean, the couple from Australia that talked about, you know, a gay son and his partner, and do you invite him to Christmas dinner or not? A couple from another part of the world that talked about how important in having a good marriage really good sex actually is. I guarantee you this is not something that Catholic prelates typically discuss. But that said, I think the response to these married couples has been remarkably positive. Every bishop I have talked to who have said that one of the things that had made this synod so much better from earlier such meetings they've attended is they feel like they're getting contact with real flesh and blood people who can open up the reality of married life to them.
And how could that kind of exposure change the church, do you think?
Well, again, I don't think it's going to change church teaching, but I think it might make the church better, that is, the leaders of the church, better equipped to talk about these issues with people who were living in situations that they would consider irregular, that is, divorced and remarried people, or gays and lesbians, or couples that are cohabitating. It might enable them to talk to them in a way that comes off as less condemnatory, less judgmental, more positive, more trying to help. I mean, there may still be disagreements at the end of the day, But at least you can enter into a conversation with these folks that doesn't end up with everybody's face getting red and a bunch of people shouting at each other.
You know, John, you mentioned disagreements, and certainly in past papacies, pre-Pope Francis, disagreement wasn't received very kindly. Is there dissent being expressed by some church officials at this meeting?
100% yes, if by dissent you mean are they disagreeing with each other. Absolutely. I mean, on this issue of communion for divorced and remarried Catholics, I can tell you that the debate at times has been extremely pointed. Pope Francis said at the beginning that he wanted these bishops to speak boldly, that is, to say whatever was on their minds, but to also listen with humility. I think there's no problem on the speaking boldly part so far. I think occasionally there may have been some struggles with listening with humility.
Has the Pope himself spoken at this gathering?
Yes. The Pope, at the very beginning, he gave a little talk, sort of setting the tone, and the tone he wanted to set was one of open, frank, and robust discussion. At the same time, encouraging the bishops to play nice with each other. That is to say what's on their minds, but to not try to tear each other apart. And then he will, of course, also speak at the end. But what he is doing, Sasha, is listening very carefully. I think he called this meeting because he wants to take the temperature of where the world's bishops are in some very knotty issues, and he's trying to let the discussion unfold.
John, to clarify something, you know, you've made clear that there won't be changes to church teaching, but there could, for example, be a possibility that divorced or remarried Catholics can receive communion, so maybe a rule change. Seems like a fine distinction. You know, you're not changing teaching, but you are softening the rules?
Well, the doctrine has to do with the idea that marriage is, on this particular issue, the doctrine has to do with the idea that marriage is one man, one woman for life, that it's indissoluble. And so there's no question the church is going to change its policy on divorce. They will go into this synod saying we don't allow divorce. They will come out of the synod saying we don't allow divorce. But the concrete real life question is, okay, let's say somebody is divorced anyway, and they have not been able to get what's called an annulment, which is a declaration from a church tribunal, a judgment that their first union was never actually a sacramental marriage. So they're in that situation. What do you do about them? Okay, and one response is do not allow them to communion because that would confuse people about our teaching on marriage. The other option is to say no, as an act of mercy, it's people in broken situations who need the help of the sacraments the most. But neither one of those involves a change to the doctrinal position that marriage is permanent, or at least, Sasha, that's how the bishops here would phrase it.
If that change did come about, how long would it be before a divorced Catholic who didn't have an annulment could actually be up there receiving the bread and wine?
It'll be a while because the synod we're going through right now is merely preparatory for another summit of bishops Pope Francis has called for next year, for October 2015. And even that meeting is merely to give advice to the Pope. Ultimately, the ball is in the Pope's court as to about what he wants to do.
That's Vatican reporter John Allen. He's an associate editor at the Boston Globe. John, thank you.
You're welcome, Sasha.